The Kappa Jay Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago. That's why I say,
man, I shot. No shot. Kappa and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and ESPN app.
Good morning and welcome in to the Kappa and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood with you. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Brought to you by DraftKings. Every time of this day, we give you a shot or no shot, and it's brought to you by... God, come on, Cap. Bring it out.
That's not me.
Go right ahead, Cap.
So good.
Just clear it out.
I want to hear. I'm working on this trademark cough, and it's getting better.
I mean, sure. I mean, he's always...
I'm working on this trademark cough. What do you think?
There you have it. Brought to you by...
That would be PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. Download the PointsBet app. Get the live bets, the live in-game, same-game parlays, the lightning bets. And if you want to play the ponies, the horses, that would be the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. Good morning, Secretariat. I miss you. Here is Snorling.
Good morning, boys. How we doing?
All good. Rock and roll.
Hopefully better than Mike Leach in that press conference. So if you weren't listening last segment, Mike Leach had one of the great press conferences of all time. He was fined about 15 times. We counted through them. Let's get to shot or no shot, boys. Over the past 4 weeks, Justin Fields is the highest scoring player in football in fantasy points. And while Fields got off to a slow start with just 2 touchdowns to 4 interceptions through the first 4 weeks of the year, over the last 5, he's completed 64% of his passes for 851 yards, 8 touchdowns, and just 2 interceptions. He's also seen his red zone productivity tick up. The first 7 weeks, 4 of 11 for 27 yards, 2 touchdowns. The last 2 weeks, 9 of 10, 71 yards, 5 touchdowns. My question, shot or no shot, Justin Fields is the most improved player in football.
That's a shot. That is a shot. He absolutely is more comfortable with what they're doing offensively. The Bears are an offensive threat. I'm not telling you they're a juggernaut because they can't stand in the pocket and throw it yet. But he is absolutely looking more in control and comfortable, and he's a leader. Everyone talks about his work ethic. He's fitting in beautifully into that role. So, yes, that's a shot.
I would say that is a shot also. And, again, it's not about wins and losses with Justin Fields. It's about his development. And I just think most improved within the same season. Usually, Cap, voters like you, we'll look at the player from 1 year to the other. Mm-hmm. Boy, you've improved from last year. You're a whole different player. Mm-hmm. But you could see the improvement. Now, again, slippery slope in that conversation. Go back to our 9 o'clock hour in the podcast of Cap and Jay Hood. We started the hour talking about Luke Getsy.
Was that yesterday? You're talking about yesterday?
Yesterday's show.
Yesterday,
yeah,
okay.
On the Cap and Jay Hood podcast
feed. Right on the ESPN app.
You've heard it, right?
Occasionally, yeah.
You tune in like every now and then.
Yeah, little chunk things there, the shorts.
Okay, they're not the chunks. They're Kappa Jay Hood shorts.
Same thing.
No, it's not.
A little chunk of the shorts.
No, chunks are in the stool.
Wow.
Yeah, shorts are on the podcast.
Okay.
There's a difference there.
I thought I wore shorts. Go ahead.
All right, you know what? You're going to have to leave here. It's pretty soon. You're going to have to leave. Nonetheless, all I'm telling you is that our conversation with Getsy was interesting because Getsy looked at this offensive line and looked at the ability of Justin Fields and said, you know what, we're going to give him room to roam. He's not going to be a guy that's going to be stoic and just stand in the pocket and looking and staring down one or two receivers. They got to fight to get open. Justin can get it done with his legs, and he almost won that game with his legs. So it's an improvement in that regard for 3 games. Is there anyone else that should be on that list, Shay? That's the whole question. It's a great question.
Geno Smith.
Now, see,
that's a good year, man.
That might be a playoff team.
Go back on the ESPN app.
He might be a top 5 passer this season, like genuinely.
Go back on the ESPN app the first show after the Bears just annihilated Seattle in the preseason. And everyone said,
Well, Seattle will be the worst team in the NFL.
Yeah, not so much. They're in first place.
I thought they'd vie for the number one pick, honestly.
Okay, well, guess what? They're vying for the playoffs and a division championship.
You know what, Cap? Think about Geno Smith. I think the whole league had him dead and buried.
Correct. And okay. I remember somebody called that show. Pete Carroll's like 70 years old. He's done. The game's passed him. Yeah, not so much. His guys love playing for him. And I see a team flying to the ball on defense, making plays with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett and Kenneth Walker from Michigan State. Take that, Snorling. And look out. That team's good.
Most improved player in Chicago, yes. Most improved player in the NFL,
we'll see.
No shot.
I would say shot.
How about this stat, too, before I just to highlight how much he's improved before we move on? Versus the Blitz last season, Justin Fields at a 78.9 passer rating. Versus the Blitz this season, 100.1.
Yeah, because they're getting him on the move. I would love, he wouldn't talk to me because he's mad at me. But I would love to sit down and have breakfast with Matt Nagy.
Oh, he'd talk to you.
No, he would not. But I would love to. Look, Matt, I got my iPad here. I got that Game Pass on. We're going to watch some of this year's film versus last year's film. Would you admit now that maybe you should have gotten whoever your quarterback was on the move a little bit more?
He would do that, but Nagy's too busy getting Andy Reid coffee and markers to put on to make eyebrows on his players. So there's just no way that Nagy would have time for that. Shay.
All right, looking around the NFL, there are a lot of teams that have some questionable futures. You don't have to look any further than the Bears' opponent this weekend. The Lions look set to once again pick a new quarterback and reset their rebuild. The Packers also look like they have their first rebuild in three decades on the horizon. And there are other teams like the Colts who spring to mind who are in the tank. Very clearly just going all in to get as high a pick as possible this season. So my question, shot or no shot? The Bears have one of the five best future situations in the NFL.
One of the five best
future. Great question.
Well, I mean, do you consider the Chiefs having a future situation or they've already arrived?
No, the Chiefs, I think, have one of the top futures. The Bills, I think, have one of the top futures.
Bears' top five futures. Well, the Bills certainly have a bright future. The Ravens do. Lamar's not going anywhere.
Is he?
Okay.
John Harbaugh said this week, there is zero chance he's not going to be there.
No,
zero.
You know what? I understand the question, Shay. I know what you're asking. Because we're not talking about teams that are good in the present. We're talking about the future. And you're talking about teams that probably won't make the playoffs or on the precipice of the playoffs and might fall short. So he's talking about teams like the Bears. He's talking about the Broncos. Yeah, he's talking about the Washington Commanders.
Wait, we're not counting
You can. I think that you can be both. I think it's probably rare that you're both. I think most of the teams that are good this year are probably at the end of being good. Chiefs and Bills are probably an exception.
Cowboys.
Well, when we talk about future teams.
Okay, here's a better way to put it then. Okay. I don't want to speak for Shay, but it's our show.
Yeah.
5 years from now.
Bears are in that top five.
Are they in the top five?
For sure.
Okay.
Because when we say future, that doesn't mean like, because if we're talking about if the future is now, then we're talking about the Bills. We're talking about teams that should make the postseason.
Okay, 5 years from now, the Chiefs are going to be there.
I think so.
Yeah, Mahomes is what, 25?
Yeah. It's the infrastructure around him that I wonder about.
I'll bet with that quarterback, they'll be good. I think Dallas will still be good. Dak is only what, 26, 27?
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo certainly is going to be really good.
Right.
I would think Miami will be one of those teams over the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm. You ever going to count out the Patriots next five
They're
years?
They're not in there.
You sure?
I don't know that today. I'm not counting on them.
I have my next
the
shot
Buccaneers,
or no shot
no.
question.
He's not going to be playing Patriots at age 50.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well,
Bears could be one of those five.
Does that make sense, Shay, that if you say when you say the word future, I'm thinking you're talking about 3 to 5 years down the line.
The way to look at it is, are there five situations that you would rather have over the next 5 years than the Bears?
Oh, well.
Or are they in that top five?
I think it's a shot they're in the top five.
We're talking about the future, yes.
Because if I dropped you, Jonathan Hood, into a GM job.
Yeah.
assuming that was the career path you were on, I can give you any of these jobs.
Well, I got my quarterback in place in Chicago.
Okay, you got charter franchise, amazing fan base, new stadium probably coming. Justin Fields is 23 years of age. Yeah, absolute shot, top five.
Bengals
situation.
Bengals,
no doubt.
Yep.
Do you have the Jets in there?
Jets are potentially there. I don't know about their QB yet.
That's the question.
But they've got a lot of talent.
I think the Jets and the Giants are both good teams this year, but neither of them are certain they have the quarterback, so that holds you back.
That's correct.
Agreed.
That's correct.
I would say there's five or six. I wouldn't put Denver there. That guy looks like he's trending in the wrong direction.
Like, it's funny we don't say
Russell Wilson.
It's funny we don't say the Steelers because we don't know what Kenny Pickett is.
Correct.
No idea.
Correct.
So that's a good question, Shay. That's a good question. I like that one because it talks about the future of the team and teams around the Bears.
It's one of the best shot, no shot questions we've had since we've ever done shot, no shot as a partnership. Take that, Danny. That was a really good question.
No need for us.
Giving you plaudits on that one.
I'm blushing, guy. I'm going to be a black and Abdallah. Good question, though.
That's
fantastic.
There you go.
All right, Shay.
All right, Bill Belichick has admitted a rather embarrassing and revealing problem facing the New England Patriots offense. This will go back to whether or not they're in the future. In their last two games, both wins, the Patriots struggled to score against the Jets and the Colts, and now Belichick has admitted that the opponents knew the plays the Patriots were going to run before they ran them. Shot or no shot, this is further proof that Belichick's reign of terror is over.
He said that in the press conference openly?
Yep.
Is there sound? Like, he said that? He said that the opposition knew what they were running?
Yes.
Do you have the direct exact quote?
Why would he say that openly? He doesn't say anything.
He was asked about it. Belichick said, that's what it looked like to me, too. We definitely want to prevent that. I thought there were two or three plays for sure that Leonard got a big jump on and stopped us, basically, on those plays. C.J. Mosley got a couple of those a couple weeks ago in the Jets game. It looked almost like he heard the play in the huddle. He was on it so fast. Leonard had a couple like that, too.
That also does not give the Jets and the Colts any credit for just being able to look at the scouting report or look at the film. You mean to tell me that the Patriots are the only one that could be able to look at the film and be able to study and say, I know what's going to happen before it happens? Give those coaching staff some credit, too. How about that?
If you do film study, I don't care what the sport is, you do film study, you'd be amazed the things you pick up. But it takes hours. You can watch the breakdown. Okay, whatever. What did I see? Run it again. You keep watching and you see a tendency and you go, whoa, wait a minute. Watch what he does with his right elbow when he's going to do that.
It's funny. Funny you say that. The game I call with UIC against Trinity, Luke Yaklich is the head coach for UIC and he's standing there and there was a Trinity player that went to his right and coach said, hey, which way did he go? Hey, he told his friend, hey, which way did he go? Went to his right. What did I tell you? He said that.
You watch the tape and you go,
tendencies.
His right shoulder drops when he's going to put the ball on the deck and cross you over. We had a player when I was at NIU, Carl Armato. He would take off. He's our point guard. Run back down the floor to get in the defensive position. He goes, watch that on the tape. He looks one way and he bounce passes it in at the other end just to bring the ball up. He took off two steps, bounced right back, intercepted it, laid it in. We won by two.
And that is because of good scouting. So I would say no shot to that. In that, why can't you give the Jets and Colts credit? Looked at the film.
Yeah, maybe they did homework, like Hoodie's guy.
To your point, the Patriots are one of the worst tendency teams in the NFL. When Mac Jones is in the shotgun, 80% of the plays are passes. When he's under center, 80% of the plays are runs. They are one of the worst tendency teams in football.
Right, but when Tom Brady's your quarterback, you can go stick these tendencies where the sun don't shine. You can't stop it anyway.
And that's
different.
Shot or no shot here on a Wednesday morning. Hey, coming up next, the Bears have unveiled more plans for Arlington Heights, and pre-development has been approved. We reviewed that story coming up next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and Jay Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah. And listen to Cap and Jay Hood at home and in the office.
Now.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
You're listening to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood with you. So glad you're with us. We're with you until 10, then Mike Greenberg at 10. Carmen and Yurko come in at 12, Waddle and Sylvie at 2, Bleck and Abdallah at 6, and Freddie and Fitzsimmons from 8 to midnight right here on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000. Cap, we're getting closer and closer to reality when it comes to the Bears and their development for Arlington Heights. There was a story in Crane's Chicago Business. I saw it in the Tribune as well regarding the pre-development plans.
So it looks like they have agreed to move forward, and they have signed a non-binding, let's be clear, non-binding agreement to continue the development plans for a stadium and a $5 billion total complex. Now, they could get out of it. There is nothing binding Arlington Heights, but they are absolutely committed to trying to get this done. I have believed this, and I think you feel this way. I'm pretty sure everyone on the station does.
Sure.
The Bears should pay for their own stadium.
No question.
The surrounding complex, since it's going to bring in, over years, hundreds of millions of dollars to Arlington Heights businesses. Mm-hmm. I have no problem if you want them to foot part of the bill to improve the infrastructure on Route 53 or I-90 or Arlington Heights Road or Euclid or any of those over there and the development of downtown. That's fine. The stadium complex itself that the Bears will own and have, I don't know, 300 events a year in there,
mm-hmm,
and reap all those rewards. They're a $5.2 billion franchise. They can afford it. They should pay for that. But the infrastructure improvements, I got no problem if there's a way for everyone to share in the wealth.
I also,
and the cost.
And I look forward to it because I plan on going, because I believe that this, for once, will be fan-friendly because it's new and fresh. Anytime it's something new, mm-hmm, it's going to be fan-friendly, and the infrastructure around it I'm excited about as well. Not just the great action from the Bears inside, because there's nothing like the NFL in this country to be able to be in an NFL game, but the amenities around it. So I'm looking at this. There's employment opportunities, retail, a station square, higher density neighborhood. These are some of the positives that they're talking about here. Ponds and green infrastructure, tailgating, stadium threshold. It's all part of this map that I have in front of me here. And that's all positive for this new Bears, you know, stadium. Dome, right?
Dome, but not retractable.
Mm-hmm.
Retractable would add a ton of money to the cost.
Yeah.
And I understand that. They don't need to have it. Why do we really need a retractable roof?
Hotel attached? I see a hotel here.
There'll be a hotel there. There will be... Carmen Yurk were talking yesterday about there's a tailgating... It looks like a tailgating lot.
I see it here.
It's small. I don't think it's going to end up being that small. I think it will be bigger. That there will be an area where you could set up... I also assume there's going to be covered parking where Mr. and Mrs. Hood, hey, you want to go to the game? I got tickets.
Yeah.
Pull in, pay your whatever parking is, $40, whatever it costs.
Whatever it is, yeah.
Park your car, leave your coat in there. You're inside, even if it's 42 below outside. Climate-controlled stadium. There's 15, 20 different restaurants. Honey, can I get a new jersey? I want a Justin Fields jersey. Yep, we got one right there. Go to the Bears store. Hey, Peacock, hang on a second. I'm going to play the Bears and the over in this game. Go right into your sports book. I would assume Bet Rivers because they have a tie into Churchill Downs, who owned Arlington.
Mm-hmm.
And bam, here's your ticket, here's your jersey, here's your food, here's your parking, here's your seat. And all the money ends up where? In the Bears franchise.
Here's someone who hates dome stadiums in the Midwest. Here's Shay Norling.
No, no, I issued an apology for that, remember? Because the Yankees and the Guardians had a game rained out because the field was flooding.
So what you basically need to do is come on the air and just go, I want to apologize for being really dumb with my take.
Oh!
Oh, Charlie, come on. No, I think this is reminiscent sort of what the Patriots did when they built Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, and they kind of rebuilt the area around old Foxborough Stadium. They built up what they call Patriot Place, and it's basically a city, because if you've ever been to Foxborough, there's nothing there. They essentially built up a city around the stadium. There's a bar, there's stores, there's high-end stores, there's high-end restaurants, there's middle-tier restaurants. It feels like that's what the Bears want to do with Arlington Heights. My biggest concern is a lot of the places that have done that, and this is especially true of Foxborough, it's not the easiest place to get to and from. And especially in Arlington Heights, if you're taking the train from the South Side or from downtown or from wherever, and you're going up to Arlington Heights, it looks like you got a long way to walk to get to the actual stadium and to get to the actual game.
Is that true? Well, I don't know what it looks like. I have no idea. I mean,
when we look at the plans, it looks like it could be like a mile.
That's kind of true
now. Of a mile to a mile that you have to walk.
I'm sure there will be shuttles. I'm sure they will think of everything.
Therefore, it won't be so. It won't be the Soldier Field experience.
Yeah, like if you get off at Roosevelt, and so you're walking far to get to that stadium.
Yes,
no question about it. I think that the Bears know that it has to be more fan friendly than Soldier Field because it's new. So they look.
It's hard to be less fan friendly.
Well, look. You know, for some ownership, that's not obvious. Yeah, I'm just saying, like, you can put in new amenities, Cap, but as you well know, you can have something new and it may not be fan-friendly. I'll give you an example. The new Comiskey, when it was first built. The blue elephant they had on 35th. No Sox history. The upper deck was too steep, and Jerry Reinsdorf and the Sox changed that to make it more fan-friendly.
Correct.
So at the beginning...
It's actually a really good experience.
Oh, there's no question. Now, for sure.
Right.
When it was first built, it's like, it's a concrete blue elephant here. All of a sudden, they put more amenities in there. Great for kids.
Got a little bars. Ivy. A little ivy out there.
Well, you want to have a little greenery. Sure. Nothing wrong with that. He likes greenery.
Boy, that ivy on the north side's really well accepted. Maybe we should do that.
No, I think that they just want to have a little greenery in there because that's what Jerry likes.
Take that, Brooks.
It was nothing like Wrigley. Stop.
What would you be most excited about, or what would you be more excited about for this stadium? Like, leave the Bears out of it. A Super Bowl or a Final Four?
It would be WrestleMania.
That's going to be at the UC.
There's going to be so many cool events there.
Yes.
So many.
Oh, yes.
I mean, you're going to have Final Fours, Ten Championship games, concerts, conventions.
Now, here's a question, Charlie. Super Bowl, yes. Are the Bears playing?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, if the Bears are playing, that'll be the most exciting thing. But, you know, if you're leaving the Bears out of between Super Bowl and Final Four, like, I think those are the two biggest events a stadium hosts. What would you be most excited for?
I'd say
for?
Super Bowl. I've been to 12 Final Fours in my career. 12.
Yeah, I think I've been to 20-some, but I'm older than you.
Yeah.
I have not been to a Super Bowl. Never been to the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl for, like, the common person going to work every day, it's hard to go to. Like, you're probably not going to go, even if Chicago gets
one. Have you been to one?
No, I have not.
I have.
I've been to NBA Finals, NHL, Stanley Cup Final. I've been to Final Fours 20-some.
Mm-hmm.
I have World Series, obviously. Just never been to the Super Bowl or the Indy 500 or the Kentucky Derby.
I was in Jacksonville for the Super Bowl.
Man, I haven't been to anything cool.
Huh?
Who played?
I don't know. Philly? Was the Eagles Super Bowl? I don't remember.
Well, the thing about the Super Bowl, though, is there's a lot of auxiliary stuff that you can do that's really fun. They have the Super Bowl fan experience. They set all these things up. There's events surrounding it for the common fan. Like, when Detroit had it, I was 12 years old. There was so much to do outside of the game that the event still felt massive, even if you weren't able to actually go. So that alone should be exciting for people. Like, the Final Four is relatively easy to go to up against a Super Bowl. The events around the Super Bowl are kind of what make it feel so large.
The Final Four is fun because if you can't get in on that Saturday, on that Monday, the other two schools that eliminated will give you empty seats because they'll be gone. They're not sticking around for the championship. If their team lost, out.
So
you can find good seats.
Yes.
Yeah.
My brother and I went to the Final Four in 85 when Villanova beat Georgetown.
Mm-hmm.
and Harold Jensen was like a billion for a billion from three. Remember that?
Yes.
So we went on Saturday, and it was Memphis State with Keith Lee. Dana Kirk was the coach. I don't remember who the fourth team was. Louisville, maybe? Anyway, Villanova and Georgetown. We were there. We bought scalp tickets. I bought John Konkak had one seat for being in the All-Star game, and so did Charles Oakley. My brother and I bought their tickets from them.
John Konkak, the iconic picture of him in Sports Illustrated with the money falling from the ceiling.
Right.
Because they were overpaying for a big man back then for the Atlanta Hawks.
So we bought, they each got one ticket. We bought them from them.
Mm-hmm.
We're sitting center court. As soon as the first game ended, we ran into the Memphis State section. There's Dana Kirk's wife and daughter. They're crying. They lost. You want to sell your tickets? And people started offering us their seats for Monday night. Got them dirt cheap.
No question.
Never forget it.
So that's 2016 when I went to the Super Bowl, when they were in Jacksonville. The reason why I don't remember it, I was partying with Michael Irvin. Coming up next.
Wow.
Man, what a night. Coming up next. You know, there's some people that tell stories, but some of those stories sometimes are not true. We'll explain an all-time great telling stories that may or may not be true. We will discuss coming up next. Cap and Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Cap and Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000, the streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. That same ESPN Chicago app in which you can find an NBA Fast Break. You like your Bulls, you like your NBA, there's a breakdown that I do on the Cap'n J. Hood feed on ESPN Chicago on the app, as well as Fast Break. It's got its own feed, so if you need some Bulls information as the Bulls get ready to take on New Orleans tonight, I got a breakdown for you and some further thoughts on Kyrie Irving, all on Fast Break. Go to the ESPN Chicago app, click that, and you're right there in there. You know, Cap, you and I have been around for a long time. And we've seen a lot. We've mentioned some stories along the way. Some people's names we can't say because they're still alive. But there's always great stories, right?
Correct.
But then there's those that are like Commander McBragg. Remember the old cartoon? He'd say, "Please come here. Let me tell you this story. Here I was in deep South Africa, and I was able to snare a lion with my bare hands."
Correct.
Lies, right?
Right.
Those are cartoons that you and I grew up on. Commander McBragg.
Correct.
In the Tennessee tuxedo.
That was in the McGilla Gorilla Hour of Power.
I believe so.
Right. With a little OG.
Yes. All that, right?
Right.
Well, there's an all-time great here that loves to tell stories. And now we turn to Shay Norling here about LeBron James. Now, listen, I respect LeBron James, the basketball player.
Shay is an all-time great already?
Look, yeah. On this show.
Born one, buddy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Have you seen the numbers? Yeah, he's an all-time great. Nonetheless, right now he's on a heater. He's Steve Kerr now. Okay?
He's not a heater.
Okay? He's Steve Kerr.
That's a good one.
But Shay, let's talk about LeBron James, where I think there are a lot of times he's very thoughtful, and he's a great basketball player, but there's stories sometimes that he just tells, and we're not sure if they're real or not. Give some examples.
So he went viral this week. I want to start with the one that made him go viral this week, because a rapper, Takeoff, from the group Migos, passed away.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And LeBron, because he always does, felt the need to go to a press conference and discuss the rapper Takeoff. So listen to this.
I've been listening to those guys for so long. I was listening to those guys my first year with the Heat in 2010. And you can ask any one of my teammates back then, had no idea what Amigos was. They were like cursing me out when I would play it throughout the weight room or play it throughout the locker room. I was like, I'm telling you, these guys are next. I'm letting you know right now, these days, like, turn this off. I'm not going to hear this. And just fast forward, I mean, just knowing, you know, Takeoff personally and send my condolences to Quavo and the family and the whole QC family and everybody.
Little problem there. LeBron mentions he was playing Migos in the Heat locker room for his teammates in 2010, telling them these guys are next.
Yes.
Migos' first mixtape released in 2011.
Oh, God.
Okay, what year did LeBron leave the Heat?
2014.
All right, so he messed up.
Now, he may have been, but it's just, it's one of those things, and there's a track record. So we have a few cuts we want to play you from LeBron James.
Wait, there's more than that?
Oh, there's quite a few times.
That one's not that big to me. Go ahead.
This is the one that sent him viral, but Charlie, there are a few more, correct?
Yeah, there's a few. So this one, I think, is particularly funny. This is him talking about when Kobe Bryant went off for 81 points against Toronto. Take a listen to this.
I watched the whole game. I seen the whole game. I was at home watching the game, and you know, I said he was going to, before the game even started, when I seen, I said he was probably going to score 70 tonight. I don't know what made me say that, and my friends was with me, and they was like, okay. So when he got to like 70, I was like, well, he might as well go for 80 now. So, I mean, I'm a fan of the game, and to see that performance was unbelievable.
Divine intuition led to him predicting 80 points. A historic night. Imagine just sitting around the Raptors and Lakers.
Wait a minute. So when he torched Jalen Rose for 81, you recall this, right?
Yes.
So LeBron's like, yeah, I feel like he's going to go for 70 tonight. Oh, based on what? Based on what? That'd be you, Cap, saying, you know, I don't know.
I'm just telling you.
I just feel like LeBron, you know, I really think Kobe's going to be good for maybe 80, 81. What?
Even if like you do predict that, that's like taking credit for betting a dollar on like a 20-leg parlay.
After the fact,
like, this wasn't you knowing better than anybody.
That's weird. Okay.
That's a weird
one. So I want to rank this on the believability index. Okay. So Cap thinks the first one, the Migos one, listening to Migos in 2010, 1 to 10, how believable is that LeBron cut?
What do you think, Cap?
Fairly believable.
Fairly believable, he says. Okay. So he has it maybe like at a 6?
Yeah. Okay. If it was 2011 versus 20, whatever. Yeah. He was with the Heat. I get it.
The mic was off, by the way, so no fine for Cap. I heard the cash register.
I turned it off.
Yes, no fine. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't our guy. Okay. Okay. It wasn't Leach, for God's sakes. All right, so for me, I think that is a 3, Shay.
I agree with Hoodie. I think it's unbelievable that he would. Why would you say first year with the Heat, 2010, knowing you can look it up? There's no music by Migos out in 2010.
All right. He was in with the Heat till 2014. He got the season. Those days run together. It's not a big deal.
Now, how about this thing about predicting Kobe's 81, though?
That is not believable. I thought he was going to go for 70. You know, if you told me that 2 days earlier he got 68 and he came out and said, my goal is to get 70 in a game, and LeBron said, I got a feeling he's going to do it. Okay, that's believable. Just out of nowhere? Yeah, you know what? Tonight in the Pelicans game,
yes,
I just got a feeling Zach LaVine's going to get 80 tonight.
Yeah, exactly. And if he gets 81, like I told you, yeah, but I've been...
But I'm telling you 5 years later.
Yes. This is starting to trend on Twitter as well, Shay. This one, it says, LeBron says, I told JFK that that drop top wasn't a good idea the day before.
The memes going around this are just incredible.
There's one that says, I remember the morning the Titanic departed from England. I was supposed to be on that ship.
Oh,
they called him unsinkable, but I had a bad feeling.
Charlie, what about him? We have this audio. What about LeBron talking about being a Liverpool soccer fan on a British talk show?
I don't know if you knew that.
He made a trip over you know, to Liverpool as well, and see all the sights and the arena and everything. So it was pretty unique.
Yeah, Crouchy is actually a Liverpool legend. He used to play there. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I knew that. I didn't get an opportunity to see him play when he was with the club, but I definitely knew that.
The current captain, Jordan Henderson, just scored his first goal for England the other day. It was amazing to see. Are you a fan of his?
No, absolutely. And I saw a clip of that, too. I didn't get an opportunity to actually see the game live, but I saw that he was able to score one in the match the other day. And I thought that was it's pretty unique, the fact that he would do that and also be with Liverpool Football Club.
It's just like, hey, what do you think of my haircut? Oh, yeah, I was going to talk about that.
Well, it's like, remember during the bubble when he came out with the Malcolm X autobiography, and there was the picture of him on the bike, opened to page one, reading the Malcolm X autobiography while he's riding the bike.
Yes.
Then they ask him about it in the post-game press conference, and he goes, you know, he was a very smart man, a very, 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 very smart man.
I mean, that part's true, but you don't need to bring the book out in the press conference.
Correct.
Just keep it in the locker room.
Why does he do this? Charlie, what else do we have?
Yeah, we got one more. This might be
so funny.
This might be the best one. Just take a listen to this. It's got the question in it.
Which is the scene or the moment or the phrase or the quote you like more from the movie?
Godfather. It's too many different phrases and too many different lines in that movie to just categorize one.
But which is the one which inspirates you, represents you more?
I mean, each movie is 9 hours long. I mean, what do you want me to do? I mean, there's so many. I don't know. I'll let you pick one and I'll roll with it. It's a great trilogy.
Just say you haven't seen The Godfather.
Yeah, I'll say it. I haven't seen The Godfather. I don't have a problem with that.
LeBron said he saw it how many times?
Saw it six times. They're all 9 hours long. He can't come up with one scene that left an imprint on him from The Godfather.
I haven't seen it, and I can give you a quote. Leave the cannoli.
Yes, I'm going to make him an offer you can't refuse.
That's the one I would remember.
Fredo,
you're going to make him an offer you can't
You're
refuse.
My older brother, and I love you. That's not part of it. I mean... Luca Brasi, right?
So the Migos one, yeah, whatever. Yeah. 2010, 2011, sure. Whatever. That's not a big deal.
Okay.
What was the second one, Shay?
That was the Kobe predicting, or when you said he predicted Kobe scoring 81 points.
Yeah, no shot.
That's a one.
That's a one on the believability scale.
Yes.
The Liverpool one, whatever.
No, I mean, that's...
For me, it's the Kobe one.
Yeah.
The least believable.
When S says, The Godfather is one of my favorite movies. Can you give us a line? Nope.
They're all 9 hours long, man. Another one he's getting some flack for, and there's no audio of this, but a country radio host in Philadelphia apparently had a night with LeBron where he was trying to cuddle with her, and she told him her favorite artist was Carrie Underwood,
yes.
And he responded by going, Carrie Underwood's my favorite artist. I'm a huge country music fan. All my friends call me Lasso LeBron. 1 out of 10. No chance. No chance.
That would be shocking.
Lasso LeBron. I don't think it's for country music, though. Might be for some other reason.
Yes.
That's what I believe.
For his proclivities. Yeah, that article from that radio station was interesting.
You don't have to tell tall tales to be interesting.
Do you want to cuddle? That's what she said. He didn't ask her for anything else. You want to cuddle? No.
I'm not even sure if I believe that story either, by the way.
Me either.
Yeah, as long as he's been with his current wife, who knows?
He's been with her since high school.
Yeah, so I don't even know. But I just think that's funny. Lasso LeBron is a great story. I don't think it's because of country music. I
wonder if he walks in the house one day. What's his wife's name?
Mrs. James.
Mrs. James says, hello, Lasso LeBron.
What?
I read the article.
His wife's name is Savannah.
Savannah James. Coming up next, we give you an unbelievable animal story. Wait till you hear this on Cap and J-Hood. Dr. Pepper and the residents of Fansville invite you to revel in another one-of-a-kind year of flexing your foam finger, humming your school's fight song in your sleep, and thriving on a steady diet of buffalo chicken dip and post-game day commentary, all washed down with a rich, delicious Dr. Pepper, of course. Another Saturday is always right around the corner, so make sure that your tailgate doesn't turn into a failgate and pick up a case of ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Charlie.
Cap and J-Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Lions, tigers, and bears, oh my. What's going on today in the animal kingdom? Chimps throwing feces? Wild boars snacking on faces? Cougar on the loose?
Yes, sir.
Perhaps some horny mammals humping? Let's find out together. Animal Stories on Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000.
It's time for Animal Stories, Uncle Cappy.
Let's go, little Johnny, and rock and roll. These are always fun.
All right, we go to F.U. Shea Norling with another Animal Story.
So I saw this on Twitter earlier this week. Every once in a while, the National Park Service has to issue a warning to park goers because people can't control themselves. I found this one interesting. The warning, please refrain from licking psychedelic toads.
Okay, why would I do that? Why would I put my tongue on a psychedelic toad?
And how do you know said toad is psychedelic if you're out hiking at Starved Rock? I'll just pick an example where I've hiked.
So the toad is easily identifiable. It's one of the largest toad species in North America. It's 7 inches long and makes a very characteristic quote.
Coming in at 3 inches.
Not that, no. 7 inches.
Makes a very characteristic, quote, weak, low-pitched toot that sounds like a ferry boat whistle for its, you know, rivet.
It's me after tacos.
They also secrete what is called a potent toxin. So they're covered in, like, this slimy type of toxin. And if you lick it, it causes hallucinogenic effects. But it's also poison. So the National Park Service has issued a warning that if you see the Colorado River toad, also known as the Sonoran Desert toad, don't lick it, even though it'll give you hallucinogenic effects because you could poison yourself.
I mean, you just do anything to get high. I mean, seriously, you do that?
Curaleaf's not enough for people, huh?
Don't say that too loud. Aaron Rodgers might use that next.
Right.
Come on, man. Charlie, do you have to, I mean, of all things, where in a lot of places, weed is legal. It's in Maryland now, by the way. From
Maryland
last night.
And Missouri.
Yeah. So
legalized.
I mean, of all things, why lick a toad to get high?
My favorite part of that was Shay saying, well, if you see this toad, don't lick it. As if I saw a different toad, I would be much more inclined to lick it.
Well, at least you'd be safe if you did. The park didn't give a reason to issue the warning, but said, quote, yet here we are. And a New York Times report from March said that there had been increased demand for the toad using the secreted toxin by drying it into crystals and smoking it in a pipe.
Now, you see, this is something that can be commonplace today, Cap. Not years ago. Years ago, this person would just be weird, right? Because there would be no photographic evidence, correct, no social media, nothing to say, look at me, right?
Now it's different.
But I mean, because a selfie, if you turn the whole Polaroid camera around, it'd be blurry, right? You just turn on, and you don't know if it's really hitting you when you turn the big camera around, right? But now it's look at me. People do it just for TikTok. Just for social media.
What is he do? Licking a toad.
Just to get high. Psychedelic, right? Now, again, I'd like to know the ramifications of that, Cap. I mean, it's one thing to get high. What else comes from that?
Yeah, what is the fallout for doing that?
Well, it's poison. They said you can actually be hospitalized. It can be pretty serious. I don't think it's lethal necessarily, but it does say you can be hospitalized.
Jeez. It's no way that I'm doing that. Cap, I know you'd be interested. On a nice vacation?
No shot.
You like to hike? So
I like to hike, yeah, no shot.
When I was in high school, kids used to, we had like hand sanitizer, you know, in the bathrooms. Sure. And kids used to empty those out so they could drink the alcohol.
Oh. What?
Yeah, I mean, people will do anything just to get a little kick.
I don't get it.
Going into a national park and licking a toad, I feel like I don't need to be warned. You don't need to come out and warn me that I shouldn't be licking a toad. I'm good. I'm not going to do that anyway.
You can't be surprised, Cap. I've seen you mix your Sudafed with your Sprite. I think that's just,
you've never
seen it's very odd when you do that.
Because I can't take Sudafed.
I'm just telling you, it's very odd when you take that cough medicine.
Maybe this is why Aaron Rodgers isn't playing well.
Well, how about that? Maybe this whole thing with this, what is it, ayahuasca?
Ayahuasca. A-Y. Ayahuasca. I've never taken it, but yes, I read about it.
This whole ayahuasca thing, maybe it's not working out too well for him.
Didn't he also do psilocybic mushrooms? Didn't he say that was one of the greatest days of his life?
Yes.
When he like hallucinated with his friends on a beach somewhere in South America?
That's right.
He's an idiot. He's a hell of a player, but he's an idiot.
He wants to, hey, he's living his life, man. And his life for now is upside down.
Do people really use, like, I can't take Sudafed because I had that heart thing.
Yeah.
Do people really mix Sudafed in their drink?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We've talked about lean before on the show.
What's it called?
Lean. The purple drink. Lean.
I don't get it.
We talked about it.
That's like mostly like cough syrup, codeine, and stuff, I think.
I don't get it.
Sudafed,
so
people used to make meth, Cap. Watch Breaking Bad.
I remember.
So who gets the highest approval rating from the Bears? We'll explain that in 2 minutes right here on Chicago's Home for Sports.